Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and we're awaiting momentarily our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. And as soon as he is with us, we will have him to come forth to speak with us. We are certainly awaiting next week, which will be the Muslim Convention. It will be the convention hosted by the Mosqueers, the ministry of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad. It is Imam Muhammad's ministry. It is, in fact, the 27th annual convention. For 3 days, the people that support Imam Warith Deen Muhammad's ministry will gather together in Chicago.
You have reached the voicemail box.
For the express purpose of developing verse under God and expressing the idea and concept of our religion and our social concepts that is given from our Holy Scripture, the Quran, and the life example of Muhammad. We also will, out of that, develop principles for individual and social salvation to build a modern society. That is to say, model education, model business life, model cultural life, and model governmental or social life. We wish to invite you to come to this convention. It is something that Imam Muhammad did every year. As far as I'm concerned, Imam Muhammad is still living. He's living within me. He's living within his concepts. If you are coming to the convention looking for the physical Imam Muhammad, he won't be there. But if you're looking for the mental body, the will body, the spirit body, Imam W.D. Muhammad lives. He lives in our religious principles. He lives and our educational principles. He lives in our business principles. He lives in our cultural principles. He lives in our social principles or our governmental principles. He lives. And he said, what do you tell the people when he's gone? Tell them, I am Imam W. Deen Muhammad. As the young people say in the streets, I'm about that. I'm about the educational life of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I am about the business life of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I am about the cultural life of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'm about the governmental and organizational life of Imam Muhammad. And I'm about it to develop, firstly, the people that I'm most familiar with, the African-American community, the people who have been the most deprived, the most rejected, the most despised, the most destroyed people on the face of the planet Earth. We're about that. We're about playing up with the purpose and mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was. No, we are indeed the representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work. Not only are we the representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work, we are the representatives of the work of Dr. Howard K. Thurman. We are representatives of the work of Dr. Martin Luther King. We're the representatives of the work.
Yes.
Okay, okay. We're waiting for you to come forward.
And call. Do I need to hang up?
Yes, sir. Hang up and call in.
Yes. I was getting ready to call.
Right. We are about the work of developing Benjamin Elijah Mays. We're about the work of developing Martin Luther King. We're about the work of developing Rosa Parks. We're about the work of developing Harriet Beecher Stowe. We're about the work of all the good, sincere people that work to uplift humanity and the broken people of America. We're about the work of Fannie Lou Hamer. And therefore, we're going to be in Tenley Park. I'm just ready to roll, but I'm just telling you, I'm so excited. I spent about 2 hours this afternoon preparing for my speech next week in Chicago. And I decided to prepare. I was listening to Dr. Gardner Taylor. I was listening to Howard K. Thurman. I was listening to Samuel DeWitt Proctor. I want to baptize myself in the continuum. I will listen to Dr. Mays. He said, why are you listening to when you just listen to Imam Muhammad? I have listened to the Imam Muhammad. I continue to listen to him. I attempt to personify him and his work and his spirit. And not a time that I get up to speak before the public that I don't attempt to channel him. But I want to know where he was coming from. Some would say he's coming from Quran. Yes. However, he's coming from the spirit of our people wanted to please God. As Samuel DeWitt Proctor said, Dr. Proctor said, the individual salvation and the social salvation. Well, you can see that I'm fired up. But I am so fired up that I'm going to give way to earn from a sign from God from the last battle station of the human rights movement that will be the model for all people for the next 1,000 years. We're going to hurry for that last battle station before we enter into the human transformation moment. With the work of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, I now introduce to you and present to you, Shout the Psalm, the great brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. The next voice you heard will be the voice of Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. As I greet you in peace.
Dearly beloved audience, we'll come today very briefly with the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. We would like to talk to you today on the following topic. A revelatory event that's real. It's such a thrill, reflecting 60 years later on the life of the late Emmett Lewis Till. A revelatory event that that's real. It's such a thrill, reflecting 60 years later on the life of Emmett Lewis Till. In 1959, Barrett Strong, working in conjunction with Barry Gordy Jr., recorded a record that became a hit, and the hit was about money, and the song said basically, your loving give me such a thrill, but your loving don't pay my bills. I need money. It also went along to say that they say the best thing in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. I need money. And later on, that particular piece of popular culture was covered by the Beatles. They made a record pertaining to the same song. And some 2 years prior to the murder of Emmett Lewis Till Jr. in 1953, Clyde McBatter and the Drifters made a song, and they entitled Money Honey. Money Honey. And as we've indicated many, many times on this show, we talked about the Riddler Samson. What's sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion? And we suggested that honey symbolized the artificial extreme use of the principle of love to transform the sons and daughters of Adam into passive, docile-like sheep. But in this song, we see the Drifters, and later on, the forces of Motown began to turn the minds of African American people away from that other world that don't want anything of this world idea, but give me Jesus, to turn away from that, dealing with the harsh realities of the northern climes, the hood in our urban areas, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, New York, and you name it. And they began to move away from that sweet honey or artificial love, turn the other cheek. give your enemy your last this or that toward accepting the hardcore secular idea that I need money. And Emmett Till, a northerner from urban Chicago, Illinois, went south in his innocence to Money, Mississippi, some 60 years ago, and was brutally and savagely murdered by two low-life rabid racists. Murdered in Money, Mississippi, at a time, August 28th, when the African-American mindset in the urban areas were becoming desacralized, where they were being stripped of their earlier rural Southern Christian folk tradition. When they went inside of the hood, struggling for rent money, they decided, well, I need more than this Jesus. I need some money, honey. That it was something else that was important that they couldn't use it. That they didn't need it. They needed money. That's what they wanted. And that classical captain of the musical industry, Barry Gordy, captured this new secular, desacralized spirit of the African American, especially urbanized brother and sister. Move north from Alabama, Mississippi, and other southern environments. Moving away from the harsh agrarian economy of the South. Moving away from the little church on the hill. Moving north to the land of Canaan, to the land of flowing with milk and honey and material upliftment. Searching for money, honey. Searching for money. Ooh, we baby got to have it. Searching for economic substance and subsistence. Money, honey. Ooh, we baby, we got to have it. Again, a revelatory event that's real. It's such a thrill. Your loving give me such a thrill. But your loving won't pay my bills. I need money. That's what I want. I'm not content anymore with a doctrine of pie in the sky. I'm not willing to wait and get my golden slippers over yonder. I want my biscuit toe Cunnelly's down here. I want my Stacy Adams down here. I want my Zoot suit down here. I want my cup down here.
I need money, honey. That's what I want. So Emmett Till murdered in Money, Mississippi. The place and location of his death sends us a new signal as to what's happening with the urbanized African American. The Honorable late Honorable Elijah Muhammad will capture his spirit in a social, political, religious philosophy of economically doing for self. I need money. That's what I want. Money, honey. The late Emmett Till, like the late Jonathan Daniels that we spoke upon last night, symbolizes the innocence in the human soul. He was raised in Chicago, given the nickname Bolt, a young 5'4" muscular young man, 150 pounds, a dapper dresser, a budding young street ladies' man, full of fun, full of charm, engaged in a lot of little street slob-busting life with the young girls in his community, black and white, innocently drumming and playing behind the birds and the bees. Safe and innocently secure in his northern environment, told by relatives to be careful in Mississippi. But his innocence, he could not fathom the reality of the hate and viciousness of places like Money, Mississippi. So he innocently thought that a male was a male and a female was a female, that there was nothing special about a black woman or a white woman. In his innocence, these women, regardless of the hue, was human beings to be soulfully and playfully pursued in a minor, innocently flirtatious manner. So he boards a train leaving Chicago, Illinois, August 20th, 1965, exactly 10 years before the murder of Jonathan Daniels in Lowndes County, Haynesville, Alabama, August 20th, 1965. Now, some like to measure the Southern Civil Rights Movement with the actions of Rosa Parks in Montgomery, Alabama. Some would even say that no, that movement started when Brown versus Board of Education, that Supreme Court decision that abrogated and abolished separate but equal, in effect, condemning constitutionally Jim Crowism and segregation as violative of the 14th Equal Amendment, Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Do you understand? Some would say that this Southern Freedom Movement started at that point. Some would contend
that it started with Rosa Parks in early December 1955. That's indeed debatable. Reasonable men and women can debate as to the exact point of the commencement of this movement. But for my money, this Southern freedom movement, the catalyst was ignited on August 28, 1955. When Emmett Lewis Till, born August 25th, 1941. Do you understand? The movement started when this innocent was savagely and brutally murdered in Money, Mississippi. Your loving give me such a thrill, but your loving don't pay my bill. I need money. I went through to the window. I peeped through the blind. There was a question asked. There was an inquiry made as to what was on my mind. The answer shot back, I need money, honey. Emmett Till, an innocent murder on August 28, 60 years ago today. Do you understand? In Money, Mississippi. For my money, I think an argument could be made that the Southern Freedom Movement ended with the march from Selma to Montgomery in the spring of 1965. But I would contend that the movement began to unravel when it went over to Bloody Knives and the late Stokely Carmichael, accompanied by the innocent, the Caucasian martyr of the 20th century, the only North American martyr in the Episcopal Church or in North America other than Dr. Martin Luther King, the late Jonathan Myrick Daniel. When he was murdered on August 20th, exactly 10 days after, 10 years after Emmett Lewis Till left Chicago, August 20th, 1955. The Southern Freedom Movement, on the day when that vile, white racist and segregationist Tom Coleman level a shotgun point blank in Jonathan Innocent Daniels, motivated by the most excellent of human sentiment and sensibility, stepped in front of that shotgun and literally took the buckshot for my oldest sister, Ruben L. Sale, and from that came a fired up Stokely Carmichael. Then a few months later, in Greenwood, Mississippi, about 8 or 9 miles from Money, Mississippi, where Emmett Till was murdered some 10 years earlier than the slaughter of Jonathan Daniels, the sacrifice of the innocent lamb, and this same Stokely Carmichael rang the death nail for the extreme loving folk Christian ideas that sometimes rendered us defenseless when he sang and yelled and exclaimed, "Black power, baby, black power." Mm-hmm. We're reflecting on the life of the late Emmett Lewis Till. When the Western missionaries, when the cunning and calculating priestcraft of the West, those who carried the crook of the shepherd and gave our African American pastors doctrine to kill the sheep in the pasture to pull the wool over our eyes, to fleece us. Bad, bad black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, yes, sir, 3 bags full. Gave us the doctrine of the Trinity. Also gave us Mary Lou Lamb, whose fleece was white as snow. Gave the African American people this idea that Mary, in some kind of arrangement with the Creator, had a little lamb, and that this lamb became the Son of God, and that this lamb became a bleeding, suffering, crucified, Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Savior for African-American people. And we were given this doctrine in the context of a pie-in-the-sky orientation, where we were, our industry was channeled, and we worked from sunup to sundown, from when you can't see in the morning to you can't see at night. And we slaved and we labored without any compensation in a diabolic social economic arrangement called chattel slavery. And so in giving us this extreme doctrine, these serpentine forces operating with the subtlety of the serpent in the garden preyed upon the first spiritual Adam in our nature. But in going to the extreme, by pushing the envelope for the first spiritual Adam, they repress and suppress the natural operation of the industrious Adam in us, the desire in the sons and daughters of Adam. Do you understand? To get their share of this material world. So, if we look at the name Emmett, coming out of urban, industrialized, manufacturing-oriented Chicago, embodying the desire of his over-spiritualized Adamic brothers out of the South, his blood, his kin, moving north, in the embryonic awakening of the industrious Adam. That's what Emmett means, the industrious one. It is a form of Adam, but not the spiritual Adam. But the industrious Adam, That which God put in the sons and daughters of Adam to motivate them, to urge them, to impel them to get their share of this material world. The death of Emmett Till, paralleling the great migration phenomenon in our history, paralleling the mechanization of the southern economy, and many of our brethren cut loose from the rigid extreme of segregated cotton-based South, moving north into these hoods, staring a couple of decades away in the future, the coming of the cybernetic age, the coming of the information age, the coming of the service economy, the decline of heavy manufacturing and industrialization in America, the globalization of the economy, the rise of soft skills as opposed to limited skill, able life, muscular labor that was so characteristic of the automobile industry in Detroit, Michigan, the steel industry in Chicago, Illinois. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. The industrial Adam in us, the Emmett in us, became alive as a people in these urban climes, in the all-encompassing power of our southern religiosity began to wane, and the secular life of the street grew stronger. Or alternative religious sources, Father Divine, Daddy Grace, Noble Drew Ali, the quasi-religious movement, Marcus Garvey, but above all, Elijah Muhammad in the Nation of Islam, the image-oriented industriousness appealing to the black masses, do for self. And so as we reflect today, August 25th, 2015, some 60 years after the death of Emmett Till in Money, Mississippi, said hello, baby, to Carolyn Bryant. Do you understand? Her husband, Roy Bryan, and his wicked accomplice, both got it and stormed their way into the home of Emmett Till's family. Do you understand? Went in, smashed him up under the cover of darkness, bust his grandmother in the head like diabolic demons with a shotgun, ignored the maternal authority of Moses Wright, took him and I and beat him like a shown-up dog. Bust him in the head, have him cry, mama tell, Jesus have mercy upon me. Took out a gun, blew his brains out, distorted his features, tied a heavy object around his neck, and threw him in a river that says Allah sees and heals everything. Threw him in the Tallahassee River. Allah sees and hears everything. Allah saw this blatant injustice. How this innocent lamb was slaughtered simply by saying hello, baby, to a white female. What kind of man, what kind of society would brutally and savagely kill another human being for simply saying hello, baby, to a woman? For a 13, 14-year-old kid, born July 25th, 1941, the same day that this imam while appearing on this show must acknowledge the same day that Imam Alfred Muhammad was born. July 25th, Emmett Till murdered and killed by some caveman devils. They later exonerated. The courage in the movement began. The courage in the movement of the Southern Freedom Movement started right there in that house when Mose Wright observed what these evil crackers were doing. Yes, they evil crackers. Observe what they were doing. Then later on, this man had the courage. This man had the boldness that would characterize participants in the Southern Freedom Movement that would go up against billy clubs and cattle prods and bullets and rope and fire and brimstone and vicious German shepherds. He had the nerve to get into up in a Southern cracker. Judicial arena. Look Brian in the face. Look Milam in the face and point them out as the ungodly perpetrators of the slaughter of the innocent lamb, Emmett Lewis Till. But that death symbolizes a common, a scheme, a plot that would occur post-movement when many of our industrious African-American immigrants out of the South would no longer be needed in the high age of, in the cybernetic age, the robot age, the machine age, when their labor would become obsolete. Therefore, leaving them victims to their able-like nature, their natural industrial abilities being destroyed by drug and chemical warfare, destroyed by intra-tribal violence, gang violence, destroyed by a life of gross immorality stimulated by a culture death. Popular culture, popular entertainment. We will continue, inshallah, for 2 hours, these reflections this coming Sunday. Emmett Till being a sign of the future. I met his wonderful mother when I was running for mayor. God bless me to meet her in 2000. Mamie Till Bradley. And she came to Selma. She came by our headquarters. I remember sending some of our men out to pick her up at the airport, to take her and house her at a local hotel, bringing her down to the headquarters, treating her like the gold, dignified human being that she was, talking to her, hugging her, loving her, bashing in her glow, absorbing her warmth, her human sensitivity. Why was Abel slain in these hoods? Why was the industrious nature of Adam slain in these ghettos, in these places that became a literal and metaphorical graveyard of our people? When we finish this reflection, after some 3 hours, we'll see that everything that happened in the global news must come back to the to this mother load event some 60 years ago, when a process began of the death of industrial Adam in Afro-Americana. And 60 years later, it's time for that industry to be resurrected. It's time for Abel to get back his God-given abilities. It's time for that African-American common person to cross Jordan. All the events of this week, the decline of the stock market, that symbol of capitalism and the greed for money. I need money. That's what I want. The release of this movie, Straight Out of Compton, Niggas With an Attitude, Eric Wright, Eazy-E, with the same name as that great hero of Emmett Till's family, Mose Wright, all tied into this idea, the coming out of David Clan Duke verbally endorsing Donald Trump, Donald Trump's supporter telling this renowned Hispanic journalist, get out of our country. This white supremacist bragging about the fact that he's going to name a city after Donald Trump. The murder of these two Adamic like Caucasians in Money, Virginia. I know the name is Monita. Right outside of Brother Man's hometown, Roanoke, Virginia. The death of that great civil rights freedom fighter in the year of the 50th anniversary of Selma. The outstanding, my friend, my sister, practice law with a son, Ruth Boynton, who has a U.S. Supreme Court case named after him, labored with her grandchildren, knew her daughter-in-laws, worked with her, conversed with her, passed away this week at the ripe old age of 104. President Obama going to New Orleans. 10 years after Katrina and the Great Purge. 10 years after Katrina and the Great Purge. All these events connected to, interconnected to, correlated with, orchestrated with
the death of Emmett Lewis Till. Dearly beloved audience, we have not even gone through the archetypal meaning of his name. Lewis, the name that's related to the ancient Persian pagan heathen high science of psychology that the Imam said existed when the Zionists came along and captured that knowledge out of Egypt pertaining to the system of Isis. Louise in Bible in the Genesis, that body of knowledge is called L-U-V. But Jacob got it and evolved it and it became a body of knowledge called Bethel. Until we know that the one who slew Abel, and we're going to finish this up at the beginning of our next expression, inshallah, if it's the will of God. Say, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the soil. That God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected the sacrifice of Cain, and it made him wroth. It upset him. It made him angry. The murder of Emmett Till was one of the most significant events in the global history of man in the 20th century. And you let this day go by claiming to be an alert, awakened servant of God. And don't understand, as we'll show on Sunday, the chain of events that realistically change the reality of mankind forever on this planet. Pride did his thing, but God did his thing in Mississippi when a few years later, one with the name of that bold one, Moses Wright, the one with the name of Eric Wright, of niggas with an attitude, sent Robert Moses to Mississippi, and God counteracted the diabolic act of Roy Brown with the heroic act of C.C. Brown. The Mississippi, E.G. Nixon of the movement, Bryan counteracting that devil, Bryan of Macomb, Mississippi, that African American railroad man, that African American mason, that African American church deacon. Embrace Bob Moses, Mose Wright, and Bob Moses, Roy Brown. But he did his devil act, and God acted. And Coon Pio Coon,
He inspired an African-American, Bryant, to embrace Bob Moses. And from that, ultimately came the right to vote in Selma, Alabama. The right to vote was stimulated by a Bryant in Mississippi, Pike County, the same county by the name Pike County, Alabama, where John Lewis, who has the same middle name as Emmett Till, completed what Bob Moses started under the tutelage of C.C. Bryant, that audacious, bold freedom fighter who God raised up as an answer to diabolic Rod Ryan.
And the rest is history. We got to take a look at this Lewis and Brothers Till name next week. We got to take a look at this Till idea next week. And then we got to connect, Sunday, all of these events, straight out of Compton release, Obama in New Orleans, the white nativists and racists coming out of the closet behind Donald Trump, the African-American red gen brother murdering those two innocent Caucasians in Virginia, the decline of the stock market. All these events and many more all has some connection and interrelation with the death of Emmett Lewis Till. I say to you African Americans, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you let this day pass and you didn't at least step in a corner somewhere and thank God for the life of Emmett Lewis Till, ask for his forgiveness, pray for God's mercy, and that he be elevated to a martyr-like plane in the paradise, and that he be naturally, not even as an adult, not reaching the age of full responsibility for his action, be saved from the torment of the fire. This young man who came of age in 1955, as Imam Wahduddin Muhammad had began to arise in his masterful ministry, when the temple was located on Greenwood in Chicago, Emmett Till from Chicago being murdered 6-8 miles outside of Greenwood, Mississippi, pointing toward the power of greenbacks, money in the culture. Mama named Mamie, the wife of the president of these United States, who warned us about the coming power of the military-industrial complex. Mamie Till, Mamie Eisenhower, and we see today, wall after wall, weapon system after weapon system, Halliburton after Halliburton, greed for money after greed for money. Also, Omar Bradley, her last name, another excellent warrior in American history. She too symbolizing the rise of the military-industrial complex, warned about in 1961 when Eisenhower left office. And we see out in Compton today where its culture death blew up from the West Coast. There is
a young African American mayor who was succeeded by another mayor who had the name of Eric, of Easy Z, and the one prior to that was Omar Bradley. All this tied together, because the key to many of our problems in the West has been fueled by global corporatism, weapon systems, the military industrial complex, perpetual war, and as the OJs would say, the love of money. It's the love of money that have brought not just our love of money that made many of us as elite chain leaders allow our mass ables and industrial image to be destroyed, ignoring the fact that we are our brother's keepers, greedy for money, greedy for power, greedy for status. So we are not innocent. And all this greed for money is expressed within a social, economic, political order where the head foreign players, the military industrial complex, and the global corporate giants have reduced image to a species, to an item of money, as a consumer to fuel this mammon-like giant size, out of control monetary reality of contemporary Western man. Dearly beloved audience, tell a friend to come back Sunday as we take you deep into a revelatory experience where we can see the plan of God unfold in this day of Yamakiyama, 60 years from Emmett Till, 60 armspans of Adam, and the resurrection principle in the Petra. Dearly beloved audience, as usual, this program revolves around an acknowledgement and recognition of the Imam from the Temple on Greenwood that was developing his ministry around about the time that Emmett Till was, let me say, finally, that we bring this broadcast to a close, and we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. We'll remain on for any questions. If not, we'll sign off. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, brother Imam. I would like to ask you a question concerning our brother who has passed on.
I didn't hear you, my brother.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a question concerning our brother that has passed on in Roanoke, Virginia, not 50 miles away from my hometown of Lynchburg, Virginia.
That's right, Lynchburg. I'm sorry. That's my mistake. Go ahead.
I wanted you to reflect on this young man's miseries, his pain, and ultimately his homicidal, suicidal life pattern. And I wonder, is there anything to be learned from Imam Muhammad's lecture, Suicidal God? What say you about your reflection?
Fraud identified in the human psychology
the force of life and the force of death. And the imagery that has been given us in terms of Western pictorial religion is a religion that glorifies death. And as the late John Paul suggested, that the global Western culture now is a culture of death. And Imam Muhammad echoed that. And African Americans now, we are becoming embroiled in that culture of death. We never had a pattern of suicide, but now we are becoming suicidal just like everybody else because we are caught up. Not only are we under the pathological influence of the Joan exaltation of death and that imagery, but we also double up by our post-traumatic slave psychology. And that's becoming a deadly combination for African-American people. Did I answer your question?
Sir, so our middle class, it seemed to have escaped this kind of perniciousness. And I want to ask you one final question. What do you make of the rise in the poll of Mr. Donald Trump? And now he is in first place, followed by Dr. Ben Carson. What do you say about that? And it seems
when the life force is on a death nail, and I got to go, when it's on a death march, and I saw it with many of my relatives, it begins to rally, a last-ditch effort to maintain life on the deathbed. What we see is the culture of Caucasian male dominance is on his deathbed. Donald Trump represents the embodiment of an attempt to project the wish for life by the fallen Caucasian male. He instinctively recognized that in this day of Yom Medin, this day of judgment, that his time of dominance is over. And he's looking for a savior. He's looking for a white hope. And his soul is projecting that on Donald Trump. That's why for the first time in recent contemporary politics, and vile and clear racists and nativists are publicly and openly coming out for Donald Trump. Not only that, his alter ego is that clone-like African-American male who also is fallen, who also is in a despicable life situation. So if you do your research, one of the names of his brother, Bestry, Lee Flanagan, or Donald, they have researched him, and for years he went by the name of Donald. Why? Because many of us as African-American men are nothing but the clone flip side of a frustrated, insecure male in an economy where people are writing books called The End of Men. Bottling up rage, bottling up anger. So even though in the outward expression we see gaps that pull the chain stoking of the Caucasian male reflected outwardly in Donald Trump's support, on the shadow side, on the flip side, is a frustrated, enraged, distorted African-American clone Donald as well.
Gotcha. All right, buddy, ma'am, I know you have to go. I have other questions, but I think you answered sufficiently. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. our brother and friend will be the featured speaker this Sunday on Ethical Sunday on Religion Means Alive. We will return to the air on Sunday, the first Sunday, where we will do the public address at the convention. We'll be live from the convention, the Moscow's convention, on September the 6th. So we'll be back tomorrow. Now, we won't be back tomorrow. The Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad will be on tomorrow. Sunday we will return. Monday she will return. I may be interviewing guests, but if you know of anybody you think we should interview, just write us, imamalfred@gmail.com. Until tomorrow at 7 o'clock, peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.